All right, Sunday morning, 5/21/23. This is a word of prophecy that Danny received yesterday evening. We're living in a time of great deception. Darkness is at an all-time high. Evil men and seducers are trying to get us to buy the lie. Beware, what you see and hear can deceive you, and everything that glitters is not gold. Don't trust what's coming from the outside. You could be fooled before you know it, or no. We have to learn to live by the inside. That's how the Spirit gives us evidence, to accept what He gives us, and in our spirit to be led by the inward witness. I'm not talking about what I haven't been through. I've been duped by what I could see. But as I've learned to walk by my spirit, it's kept me from being deceived. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and everything He shows us is true. To walk by His witness and not by our senses, that's what we accept as our proof. Well, it fits. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to teach this morning on taking out the garbage. Talking about spiritual things this morning, okay? All right. Back at the beginning when all of this stuff started, it was back probably, after the President Trump was elected the first time. Everything was such a mess. You know, the caravans, just think about in the beginning especially, all the mess. And I said, Lord, what's going on here? He said, well, I'm cleaning out the closets. I'm cleaning out the closets. What do you do when you clean out the closets? Well, you pull everything out. Some of it goes in the garbage, right? Some of it you probably bag it up and take it to Goodwill. Other stuff you put back in. That's useful. All right, keep that in mind. All right. I know the Lord was talking about the whole operation worldwide, but it's also in our individual lives. He's talking about what they're doing, cleaning up, going underground, cleaning out the dumps, rescuing the kids, cleaning out the deep state players. I know that's what he was talking about. But yesterday, the Lord said, now you need to deal with your own life first. See, judgment does begin in the house of God first. This is 1 Peter 4. Danny had a word of prophecy on Wednesday night. It was 45 minutes long. And he dealt a little bit in that area about judgment beginning in the house of God first. The Holy Spirit was bringing that. All right, are you there? Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Let me say this. I just had this little picture come into my mind. The Lord said, I'm cleaning you up and purging you. You're walking through fire. The flames aren't hurting you, but I'm purging out what's not useful, what's not good, refining you as silver is purified seven times. In other words, the dross comes to the top. He skims the dross off the top. Well, that's why Peter's saying don't get all wrought up and be scared of all those things of these fiery trials. Well, here, beloved, thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial. It's hot down here, Lord. Not down here, but you know, it's hot here in this trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. When you say, Lord, I commit my life to you. I want to go your way, do it your way. And then you start going, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm doing it. You gave me permission. You told me that you wanted to go the right way. You told me. You said, Lord, whatever, I want to do it. I make a commitment to you to follow your will for me. And then we go, what? But rejoice. I think I hit on this Wednesday night about when you're out of joy, rejoice. When you're out of gas, refuel. When you're out of joy, rejoice. When you're in a fiery trial, the last thing you want to do is rejoice. Yeah. But that's where deliverance comes, like Paul and Silas. But rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering. See, this is what he had to walk through. And anybody that's done anything for God before and after that has. Partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. In other words, after you're through the fire trial, you're going, "Woo! I'm glad that's over, but I'm glad it's done and God was able to do what he needed to do to get me ready, get me more like him." If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. You know what? The Lord has quite a sense of humor. He said, "I don't have no F troops." You remember that old show, the F troop? Sloven, just a ragtag, couldn't find their butt with their hands. That's what the Lord said to me. "I don't have any F troops. I have the elite of the elite of the elite." Just like President Trump, they say they're the elite. "Well, you're the super elite." I said, "I agree with you." "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." In other words, he knows what he's doing, and he's overseeing it. He's taking care of it. There's not going to be anything happen to you that he doesn't see and he doesn't know. He gets a minute-by-minute report. Kind of like with Daniel when I started all of this about. Daniel was a puddle. And the angel, "Daniel, stand up. From the first moment you spoke, I headed this way. I was deterred. But I've become because of your words." You think he doesn't hear, he doesn't see, he doesn't know? Think again. Judgment here just means a decision. "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided." No turning back. No turning back. When cleaning out the closets, decisions must be made of what is usable and what is not, and what to give away. Very simple. Put this into perspective into your individual life. We let all of this happen on our watch. Why? Will the Lord ask us that question? Why did you let it happen on your watch? Why were you not doing what I asked you to do? What will you say? Well, you can't lie, make an excuse. He knows it all. Do you think that it's going to wash when you say, "Well, I just didn't know"? He forgives, but he is expecting, just like Peter gives reference to this in his passage, that we must be purged so we can speak, so we can won't suffer as the world's going to suffer, because the world's going to suffer. That time's coming. Like he said, if it's this fiery for those in the household of God, what's going to be those in the world? Eternal damnation. All right. All right. Peter gives reference in this passage that we must be purged, so to speak, so we won't suffer as the world will suffer. Coming up higher of trust in God's will for us. See, God has to make sure, just like any good soldier, that when you're in the fire, you will not run. That's why when you're going through the fiery trial, you're going, it's difficult. But it's like, well, how other way could I teach you? Unless I let you experience some things. There is no other way. That's a natural soldier and a spiritual soldier. All right. I've made a decision that from this time forward, I will stay aware of what is going on around me, and that I can better equip to be able to help people. In other words, I know what's going on in my world. I know what's going on. I don't know my city as well as I know some other things. I need to know my city better. Just your surroundings, what's going on in your surroundings. How can we help people if we are not aware of anything? How can we speak and pray and decree if we don't know what's really going on, even in our own city council, our own mayor, our own whatever? Okay? So I repent of being slack in that. I mean, it's very easy to look up all of your county sheriffs. I mean, you can find them all online. Even if it's just, Lord, I pray for this authority in our city today, in our county today. And maybe even to name them by name. All right. I had to repent of putting my head in the sand. You know, you hear things. We've heard things for years, and things didn't feel right, but we didn't know what to do about it, so we just went about our merry way and just forgot about it, just did our own thing, right? That's what we did. All right. I believe the Mark Taylor prophecies that he had in 2011, he didn't release them till I think before Trump was elected the first time. What it does is it calls the church out. It doesn't really talk about, it talks a little bit about those on the outside, but it really targets the church and all the bastardry, or whatever you want to call it, of the church, like the 501c3, the beast system. All of that, he targets the church, and he didn't mince any words. And it went all over the world, his prophecies. That was God's raising up. Judgment begins first at the house of God. All right. This is the place where we start taking out the garbage in our own individual lives. Because you know what? The church is made up of individuals. And he says judgment's going to begin at the house of God first. He means the individuals. He's talking about everybody's individual life. All right. Let's go to Matthew 13. I didn't know till yesterday. I never even equated this parable to this, but it's kind of about cleaning out the closets a little bit. This is Matthew 13:47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Doesn't that fit this perfectly? Yeah. All right, it's been God's way that even very wicked nations, if they repent, he grants them a reprieve. He is the same. He does not change. Repentance goes a long way in making things turn around. We are the city on the hill, the light of the world. We are an example to the world. Sad to say, even Christians and podcasters just want to see them all executed. All right, we're going to go read a story. Jonah. Jonah sounds like the church today to me. We don't want to go. We'd rather go to Hawaii. We don't want to go to Nineveh. All right. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. No, we got a cruise. We don't want to do that other thing. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the swears that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise! Call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. You could say Jonah's like the church that fell asleep. Then say they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this veil or this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceeding afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. I'm a backslid Christian. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wroth and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wroth and tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. They were certainly better crew than Jonah, wasn't they? And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is symbolic of Jesus, you know. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and the Lord heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. Now some say Jonah actually did die. I don't know. Did he? He thought it was in hell. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Can you see him walking around with seaweed wrapped around his head? What he must have looked like being in that fish's belly for 3 days. And, oh, just horrible, pruny, probably real white looking seaweed. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited it out, Jonah, upon the dry land. Here he's laying in vomit with seaweed wrapped around his head. You know, sometimes you think, wow, Christians just want to do their own thing, right? And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. And he laid his robe upon him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. I wanted to see executions. He was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till the night, or till he might see what would become of the city. He was thinking, oh, maybe he will, maybe he change his mind, maybe he'll blow it up. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. People are so disappointed in the Durham report. What they don't understand is I forget how many hundreds of pages there are, that he cannot indict anyone. All he does is research. He's not the one that does it. He brings he brings the indictments. He doesn't enforce the indictments, but he recommends the indictments. And they're the ones that calls the grand jury, and they decide. That's what brings an indictment. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? In other words, your priorities are all out of line, Jonah. Here you are feeling sorry for the gourd, but you care nothing for 60,000 persons, whatever, 60,000 persons, that's 60,000 persons. Is that right? No, that's 100, well, anyway, a bunch of people. 120,000, 6 times 20 is 120, 120,000 persons. Figure that one out.
120, yeah, 120.
That cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle. But the Lord just let me know that's the way the church feels about it. Right there. Right there. I even was listening to somebody that they're a singer and the Lord's giving them songs. They're AG and they're hardcore AG, believing the rapture and all that stuff. But they want them all arrested and they want them all hung right now. I'm going, what's wrong with this picture? This attitude must be so grievous to God, it's a wonder he gets anything done. You know, a church full of Jonas. No, Lord. They think, well, as a Christian, it's an option whether I want to do what God says or not. I'd rather go on my cruise, or I'd rather go do what I want to do. Isn't that the way it usually is? I know. The people that we've known, we used to ride motorcycles with or whatever. It's all about finding them a place where they can retire on the lake and or they can do their whatever and everything. I'm thinking, they think we're weird because we pulled aside to follow the Lord and to give our lives and give up what we wanted to do and seek him. They think we're the weird ones. They can think what they want. But they'll be the first one, oh, pray for me. Oh, Lord, bless me. Okay. All right, Luke 9. See what I mean in the church? We got a lot of teaching ahead of us, kids. All of us. There's going to be a lot of people. They're going to have to be trained right, you know? Their heart's right. They'll know we are Christians by what? The love we show one another. All right. This is Luke 9:46. Then there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbid him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus saith unto him, forbid him not, for he is not against us. He is not against us, is for us. It came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. See, in the Christian community, if you don't believe like me, then we don't have nothing to do with you. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Elias was doing that against the prophets of Baal under God's direction. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Isn't that what it's all about? All right, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some encounter slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that the goal? Isn't that why it came? It's not an option for God. Danny was talking about it in this word. He kept saying, I've been so slow in doing this. I've been so slow. Why? He don't see his people perish, even the wicked. Yeah, he said, I'll give them to their last breath to come and make it right. Our focus should be repentance concerning our own garbage and God's long-suffering nature and his willingness for none to perish. Our focus should not be on the punishment of the wicked, but on the salvation of the righteous. All right, Genesis 18. The father of our faith, Abraham. Genesis 18. Verse 16. And the man rose up from thence. This is after the Lord shows up with the angels at his tent, and Sarah fixes the meal, and she laughs when he says, you're going to have a baby next year, you know, all that. And the man rose up thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous in the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, but the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within this city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there be lack five of that 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of five? And he said, if I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him again yet and said, peradventure there be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his own place. I think if Abraham had taken it down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, the Lord wouldn't have done it. But he was thinking about his family. But God would have given the whole city a reprieve if Abraham had asked him. I think so. I think that's the way God wants us to intercede, so that what he has in his mind to do, because of the cry of the wickedness that reaches him, if someone stands in the gap, someone prays and intercedes, God won't destroy them. But he has to have someone ask, because who's he given authority down here? I believe he purposely came by Abraham's house that day because he was not wanting to do what he had to do. Ended up he had to. He couldn't even find 10 in the city. Yeah. Okay. All the Old Testament, in all the Old Testament, we see the scenario played out on many occasions. God is looking for those that will repent for nations. Okay, we're going to look at a couple. Hosea. A lot of what the prophets, their area, this was the prophets that did this. With the prophets, God doesn't do anything unless he speak it first to his servants, the prophets. Kind of like the deep state think they have to let you know what they're doing. God lets you know what he's doing through his prophets. Okay. Hosea 6. Verse 1 says, Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the word of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen an horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also Judah, he has set an harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. Okay, Matthew 9. Verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And he came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publican sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth? Wait a minute, am I doing the... Here's another one of these moments. Oh, I'm keep going. Okay. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But ye go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. All right, Jesus' mission was to save sinners. Right? See, we're the bearers of that message. That's what the good news is about. That's what we're supposed to be taking it into all the nations, to every creature. All right, Romans 3:25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Remission means toleration. Okay, Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. This remission here means freedom, pardon, forgiveness, liberty, and deliverance. You could say a stay of execution. Kind of like that general. Is he? No, he's not. Is he a general? Sossaman. The one that they were going to hang Monday, and he had a stay of execution. But he also had an interview with the JAG officers for a couple hours. So, you know, maybe with a stay of execution. I kept thinking about that. Okay, go back to Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all come short. We're all been forgiven. I'm asking you today to put on the mind of Christ and put aside your own opinions and your own thoughts of what you have heard about a certain individual. When this is all over, they have said that those that we think are good are bad, and those that we think are bad are actually good. If we view each person as a person that Jesus has died for, that changes the picture completely. No one's a lost cause. God is the judge, not us. We must stay in repentance ourselves to keep the right mindset concerning people and what they have or have not done. We're not the judge. Okay, I'm going to read a few scriptures. We'll be done. This is 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Okay, Philippians chapter 2. Starting with verse 1 there. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And having found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue. He wants every tongue to confess. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We must not be like the religious of Jesus' day. They had no mercy for anyone. All they cared about was money. This is why judgment has to begin at the house of God first.